Jonah and Jonah in the Bethlehem. It's written in Matthew, first of all, and Matthew chapter 12. And I just pray and for the
Father, we're thankful for your word. And we just simply ask, Father, that now as we become, that we bless the peace of our hearts. And that we would even learn from it and go away from here bringing something with us from your word. We just ask this simply in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and at one time be given him of the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Now we'll look at Jonah chapter 1. You don't read much really about Jonah through the scriptures. But once to just to realize that who Jonah was, he was a prophet. And no better person to proclaim that he was a prophet than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he calls Jonah a prophet, and even he's up right up there with Solomon, one of the greatest men that ever lived, one of the wisest men that ever lived. The Lord places him right up there with Solomon. So, Jonah was no novice. He wasn't just somebody that the Lord picked around him, really. He was a prophet. And he was a proclaimer of the will of God. And he was someone who knew God and knew the character of God. Let's read chapter 1 together. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found the ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. Then mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said to one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid. Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea might be calm unto us? For the sea roared and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. And the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Anyone see him through the glasses, you know? Just allow me that. As I said, Jonah was a prophet. No novice. He knew the character of God, he knew what God was all about. He knew that he was God of mercy. And the book of Jonah really, it's not really about Jonah so much, but it's more about God. It reveals God's character because from his hatred of sin here, the very beginning, how the sin of Nineveh had come up before them. And right through to chapter 4, we read of his grace and his mercy, his slowness to anger and his great loving kindness. And the theme of Jonah, I believe, is God's mercy. First of all, to the individual, Jonah, and then his mercy to a group of sailors, and then his mercy to the heathen world power, the Assyria, the Gentile nation. And also, which actually isn't here written down for us, but his mercy to his own people of Israel. As a result of the Ninevites being forgiven, being saved, the way I like to put it, Israel was spared the invasion from Nineveh for over 150 years. Israel at this time were really worshipping idols themselves, so God was going to judge them. But he gave them another 150 years because of Nineveh's repentance. And so he was merciful to his own people. So we see God's mercy right through. And as Adam was bringing to us earlier on, the bond of mercy. Right through this book, Jonah. First of all, I want to establish why Jonah didn't want to go. You might say he was afraid. I suppose he'd have a right to be afraid, humanly speaking, because these were bad people. They were renowned for their cruelty. They would have taken their head off and it wouldn't cause them the problem. And they tortured people. Maybe even some of Jonah's family had been affected by this. But it wasn't fair. Jonah wasn't afraid, I don't believe, to go. Was the distance from where Jonah was brought up in Gath Hepher to Nineveh was about 500-600 miles to Nineveh. But Jonah decided to go the other way to Tarsus, which was about 3,000 miles, maybe, right across the far end of Spain. It wasn't the distance. Was he backslidden? No, I don't think he was backslidden. He knew exactly who God was. He was close to God, I believe. And he was a prophet. And there's something that's missing here between verse 2 and verse 3. And it's Jonah's reply to God. And to find his reply to God, we have to go to chapter 4. Let's turn over the page to chapter 4. And here's the reason why Jonah didn't want to go. You all know this, but I'm just going over this. But it pleased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my sign? Now this is a conversation that's missing from chapter 1. Was not this my sign when I was yet in my company? Therefore I fled before the Tarsus. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. You know, most evangelists are afraid of not being successful. Jonah, on the other hand, was afraid of being successful. He didn't want these people to be saved. They were bad people, and you can't get away from them. But I want us this morning to ask ourselves a question. Is there someone that you know? Is there even someone that you have seen on the news? Maybe they've taken a machine gun and went to a school and just murdered innocent children or people. And it has come into your head that those people don't deserve forgiveness. Those people deserve to be in a lost eternity. Has that ever happened to you? I would say it has. I would say we can be jury, judge, and executioner sometimes. And you know, this is exactly where Jonah was. You can think of men down through history who were evil men. You think of Adolf Hitler even. Was responsible for the death of 11 million people or over. He racially killed them. He was responsible for World War II really as well, in which 50 to 70 million people died. And you know, you would say that Adolf Hitler deserves to be in hell. You know, our God is different. Our God is merciful. And he's slow to anger. And he's not willing that any should perish. And I'm going to emphasize the any this morning. Your salvation for the whosoever lives. And it was people on our minds that we know that we can't find any forgiveness for parks. Maybe we can't even, and it's not even the same room. And our attitude needs to change, really. It's just not God's attitude. So Jonah ran from the presence of God. And it's been pointed out before, sure, to you, that the pathway away from God is on the ground, isn't it? And here we can read in verse 3 that Jonah went down to Joppa. And then he went down to the ship. Verse 5, he went down into the lowermost parts of the ship. And then verse 15, we see him down in the sea. And verse 17, we see him down into the stomach of a great fish. So the pathway from God is on down. And in the ship, back to the ship, he obviously had time to settle down and get to sleep. And then God sent out this great wind, this great storm. And the sailors were even afraid. And if you were easily scared, you wouldn't be a sailor. The boats weren't like you have nowadays. But the wooden boats and easily wooden, I'm sure. And the storm was that bad that the sailors thought the boat was going to bring it to be. And they were afraid. This is in verse 5. They were afraid. And every man on that boat prayed to their own God. They were all probably pagan people. Praying to their own God, to idols, whatever they could think of, pray to, they prayed. And they cast all their cargo into the sea, trying to make a boat lighter, but no avail. But then they went and they wakened Jonah. They remembered where Jonah had gone on the boat. And he was sleeping, and they went and wakened him. And they asked him to pray. Now, it doesn't tell us whether Jonah prayed or not. Sometimes I wonder, would it have been completely different if Jonah would have prayed and would have asked for forgiveness? Would he have had them through the stomach of a whale or a fish, great fish? I don't know. I don't believe he did pray. It doesn't say here he did. But I leave it with yourselves. Now, sailors in those days would have been really superstitious. I don't know if they still are or not. But in those days, it was considered bad luck. You don't believe in luck, but it was considered bad luck for a woman, even to be on a ship. You never whistled while you're on a ship. You weren't allowed to whistle, in case you whistle up a storm. If there was a shark following your vessel, it was seen as bad luck as well. And probably the only thing that was good luck was the dolphins circling around your ship or hanging around. And it was considered bad luck to rename your boat. So these were superstitious men. So in their superstition, it wasn't long until they come to the conclusion that there's somebody or something in this boat that isn't right. And so they cast lots. They're not going to go into cast lots, they know a whole lot about it. You can study it out for yourself. There were stones sometimes throughout, or bits of bone, or maybe bits of piece of wood. And how they come to this conclusion, I don't know, but the lot fell on Jonah. And they were on no doubt that it was Jonah who was involved. And then verse you can start to ask the question. Now, gentlemen, you think ladies can ask questions? Look at verse 8. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray, for whose cause is he with the money? What is thy occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy calling? And on what people art thou? imagine in the midst of the wind howling about, and the sea coming over the side of the boat. And these questions, I believe probably these questions are all from different people coming out during the one time. All these questions. But Jonah does probably the only good thing he does in chapter 1. And to his credit, he firmly proclaims his faith in the God of heaven, who he had to see with him right now. Probably the only thing he does right from chapter 1 is he confesses his faith in the God of heaven. And of course, straight away, this question comes back to him. And this question really has stuck with me. Why have you done this? That has stuck with me during these past couple of weeks. In verse 10, you see, in verse 5, the men were afraid. In verse 10, they are exceedingly afraid. And not because of the storm this time, but because of what Jonah had done. And these men knew who the God of Israel was. They knew who he was, exactly who he was, and what he could do. Remember, they never had experienced it before themselves, but they'd heard about him. And they said to Jonah, why? Why are you doing this? If your God is who you say he is, and he is as powerful as you say he is, he's Almighty God. He has created the heavens, and the earth, the sea, and the dry land. Then why would you do this? You know, very often as believers, the unbelievers who are watching us day by day, they're more aware of what we're doing around than we are. And you'll find that. And they'll soon tell you. They'll always be watching closely. And as soon as you profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be watching you. And as soon as Jonah professes faith in the God eternally, Jehovah, then they ask him this question already, so. And the world will ask, why? You're doing certain things, you know. You know, why? If they profess to serve the living God, then why? Why have they done that? Why are they doing this? Why are they doing everything else? All these things are doing. See, these men realized that this God of Israel was real. Not even because of Jonah's testimony, but because of what he was doing right here in the sea. And these men knew that their life was in the hands of Almighty God. Their lives, their very lives, were in his hand. And he became real to them. He became real. And the challenge to me this morning, and hopefully to you, is that do we portray the one we serve to be real to us? Or are we doing things that people are asking why? Why are they doing that? Why are they being hypocritical? And why are they doing things that that they were looking tuts and not me. And if they believe, then God may go on. And these men have probably more sons than Jonah. As they said, what will we do then? What should we do to you that this storm will cease? And you know, Timmy here was speaking to the wise and praying to my father. And he actually was doing chapter 2. So he spoke to the wise and my father about this. One of the wee lads said, why did Jonah jump in to save Sam? Nobody had any answer to that. We would see him. He hadn't really thought about it before. Why did Jonah jump in to save Sam? And you know, we sort of didn't really say anything because we hadn't really looked at it. And then we'd give him the wrong answer. I was supposed to think about it. I think Jonah knew these people were decent people. And I don't think he believed it was so over. I'm not sure with that. But these were actually decent people. Although they served other gods, although they worshipped idols, they were decent people. And they done their best to get the boat to dry land, so on. They did their best. That was going to be the last resort to these people. And you know, another challenge to us is, there are people that we meet each day more and more, as Europeans come into this country or whatever. People from further away, maybe who worship different gods, maybe who haven't the same views we have. Well, they're decent people. They're decent people. And sometimes we maybe don't treat them as such. Even though we claim to serve the one who is all merciful, the one who is full of mercy, the one who is abundant in mercy. And sometimes we don't treat unbelievers in the way that we should. And our attitude sometimes can be wrong. What is our attitude towards those who don't worship the same God as us? You know, they all prayed again, these men. They all prayed again. And this time we see the difference. Verse 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord. Now the Lord's in capital letters. As our brother Robert always pointed out to us, the Lord's in capital letters means Jehovah. It means the Almighty God. And he said, and they said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done and pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her rage. You know, these men in verse 5, they were afraid. And in verse 10, they were exceedingly afraid. But in verse 16, what the Lord said, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. It didn't matter about the storm, whether they feared it or not. But it mattered whether they feared the Almighty God. And they feared him exceedingly. You know, Jonah said, I fear the Lord. But these men said, says of these men, they fear him and see him. And there was a change in these men, and they offered sacrifices unto the Lord and made vows. You know, there are probably two main lessons in chapter 1. It's our attitude to unbelievers, number 1. Our attitude to unbelievers. If that needs to change, then may God help us to do that. Not just the ones who are nice, the ones who maybe even think the same way as we think and still don't believe, been brought up with the same things as us and still don't believe, but those who worship other gods, and even those who are really bad people that we mightn't have any time for. You know, when these men sing that the God of eternity, the God of Israel, was real, then they all worshipped him. Every one of them. And right through the book of Jonah, we get a thing of everything and everybody obeying the Lord except Jonah. You know, the Lord says to the Lord, prepare a great fish. I don't even know, I wouldn't know if he spoke to the fish or what. Of course the Lord knew it wrong. But this great fish was right there where the original fell into the water. And it swallowed him up. And God prepared it to swallow him up. And it doesn't matter, scientifically, if Jonah was surviving the belly of a fish, it doesn't matter. Because God is the God of mercy. That's what it's about. It's about God's grace and mercy to people. To people who maybe serve with their God, to people who are bad, to people that we don't think deserve salvation. And you know, I hope this morning, the wickedness maybe in our attitude needs to be mine, probably does. The second thing is our attitude towards God. Our attitude towards God. And you know, do people ask why we're doing certain things? You know, people watch us every day of our lives. And we are ambassadors for Christ. And we have a responsibility to live and to show that he is real to people. And when they actually see that God is real, then they will worship him. So it says, you know, they see by the great storm we encamped, it was a witness to them, more than the witness of Jonah. It was a witness to them that God was real, and so they worshipped him. I believe one of the greatest issues in the world today is not sin or sickness or disease, or even politics. And I believe the greatest issue lies with us as believers, our attitude. Our attitude to sin. Our attitude to unbelievers. Our attitude to believers. But most importantly, our attitude to Almighty God. And I just trust that as I look at this, maybe I know my attitude is very often lacking and needs to change. And hopefully this has been a challenge to us all this morning, and you know, Jonah, as the Lord said, he was a prophet. He would probably pick up there as a great preacher, even though he only said a few words to the Ninevites. But the Lord held him in high regard. And if we're away from God this morning in any way at all, in any aspect of our lives that need to change, you know the Lord is with you. And he changed Jonah's attitude. It took away from the change of Jonah's attitude. At the end of this book, I believe Jonah's attitude was changed. People were saved. The whole city was saved. And, you know, if our attitudes are in, people will see that God is real. And people will be saved. Just trust in God and let's pray. Just pray. Father, we're thankful for your word, for the challenges that it brings to us. Lord, help us not to let them just run off us, but help us to take them on board, to take them seriously. If our attitude needs to change, then Lord, by your grace, help us to change. And if we change willingly, then we won't have to go through what Jonah went through. Just pray that each of our lives will be touched by your word. And we pray, Father, for the gospel meeting tonight. We ask that you would give help. Bring us here with an attitude, Father, that is right. There will be nothing in us that will hinder the gospel. And Father, just pray that you would bless all the things he speaks. Pray for us as she sings to us. Thank you for her. Just pray, Lord, that you would bless us here tonight. And even as so many of the same, there are more than one. Maybe sailors or something being here tonight. And just they would ask you to separate us now with your blessing and in your fear. We ask you to be saved.